helps the good vibes and the good business go around in this town.
No, certainly. Yeah, yeah, we need them.
Yeah, we're community radio, so we're all about the community.
On them.
Yeah, we are absolutely dependent on them.
If we don't have a community, we don't really have this radio station, and we can't do these things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we do, once again, shouts to the sponsors. Thank you. Shouts to the listeners. Thank you. Talking about practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. As I mentioned, I'm your host, Jarrell Gelbert. Alongside me, my co-host, Derek Usmaki. What's happening, brother?
Yo, what's good, man? We always coming in hot every Monday, 5:30. Always hot, man. Fire out there, y'all.
Noobs should be joining us shortly. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully he has some bad beats, because I wasn't paying attention to many of the lines this weekend. And
we got some bad beats that just let us in right now.
Beat right there. That beat was hard. And our intro music is Gangster, so you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Noah, thank you for listening and tuning in. Again, only locally produced sports talk radio here in Chico. So we got a lot to talk about. I have no idea where to start. Usually there's a major story or something everyone's kind of talking about from the sports weekend, but a couple of the things that interested me, and well, I'm going to throw them out to you, and then you
right,
let me
go.
Know where you want to go.
Yeah.
So obviously, our man 50-50, or that 9-7 BS, Jeff Fisher got let go today. There's that.
Sad day in La La Land.
The Giants get a much-needed win, I would say, for their playoff run against the Dallas Cowboys at home last night, so there's that.
Odell looking on fleek, man.
I don't know what that means, but there's that.
I'm just saying it's like his hair, everything. I don't know.
His hair is, that's something there. There is that.
Yeah.
Off air, prior to starting the show, we talked about haircuts and how we're all loyal to our barbers.
Oh, yeah.
We could go that route, but we had
to. Let's go more. If I had more options.
You know what we didn't mention last week? That was a huge story, and we saw it. We saw the results of that yesterday. Was Earl Thomas, the safety for the Seattle Seahawks, breaking his leg? I thought the tweet that he sent out, which is old news now, but considering retirement and all that, was interesting at the time. But now we see what that team's left with without Earl Thomas, and a Green Bay team that has had trouble finding any real rhythm in the offense this season.
They found it.
Yeah, they put a beat down on the Seahawks.
So. I can't really say that's all. Well, I say if we're going to talk about it, we'll go down that route.
All right, let's go. Let's start there.
Why not start there. Because it was Sunday night. It's the latest game in our head. Mm-hmm. I will say, you can't put it all just because they didn't have Earl Thomas, while important as he is.
Sunday night was the Giants.
That too.
That's fun. It
was yesterday.
They're okay. In the afternoon. Yes, yeah. They were all in right. The afternoon.
And I didn't really watch that game because of how bad it got. It just wasn't entertaining to me anymore.
No, it wasn't.
The Niners game was more entertaining than that.
Yeah,
and that was
too.
A good time.
Yeah.
But I will say, didn't Russell Wilson throw, five picks that game?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I know he had four or three picks, I want to say, in the first half.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
Like, all around. And, Earl Thomas doesn't play on the offense, so you can't really blame his, the picks that...
Yeah.
Wilson. Dangerous. I, honestly, for the longest time, did not get that until, a couple days ago when I saw his name. I was like, why does he have danger in front of it? I don't really... And then I was like, oh, dangerous. I didn't really...
Yeah.
I was slow to it because I don't really pay attention to him, but it was ridiculous, I thought. Sorry, side note.
No problem.
We'll just put a roll
on that
topic. We're
good. Dangerous.
Yeah. 5 interceptions, 1 touchdown.
Okay, so this is something that I think is worth talking about, and we will get into the impact of Earl Thomas on the defense, but this is something that I do find interesting. Over the years, Russell Wilson, for all the accolades and all the things he's done, he's been a fairly inconsistent quarterback. Now, obviously he has a Super Bowl win, and his team's seen a lot of success in the playoffs. But in general, he does have games where he'll throw for 5 touchdowns, and then he'll have a game like yesterday. And this is kind of the part about the Seahawks that I would imagine would be a little maddening if you root for them, is that on offense, their skill positions, I would argue, are among the top 3 to 5 in the league. When you look at their tight end, their wide receivers are okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good unit of wide receivers.
As a whole, collective whole.
Yeah, yes. they don't have that upper echelon stud, but you know, Doug Baldwin's pretty good. Their other guys are pretty good.
I was just saying, is Javon Kerr still there?
I don't think is he? I don't think so.
What's his name?
Lang, the guy who made the crazy catch in the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay, so point.
Say, this is really bad for us right now.
Yeah, yeah. Thomas Rawls is okay.
Oh, thank God.
Noobs, what's happening? Big Noobs is in the house, Jonathan Newberry, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
Got to leave my house
about 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah, no worries. You're good.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, we've been holding the show down for a while.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
if you guys are loyal to your barbers, then my barber's got like a MIA poster up in the shop for me.
You don't keep it clean? No, not even? No,
dude, it's been February since 2015 since I got a haircut.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you have luscious locks, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It might be about time, though.
Just to get you up to speed real quick, Noobs, we're kind of going over the Seahawks-Green Bay game.
Okay.
And we want to get to Earl Thomas, but we were starting with just how bad Russell Wilson looked. And
he threw 5 picks.
Yesterday. And I was saying that throughout Russell Wilson's career, this is kind of what he does. He has really good weeks,
mm-hmm.
and he's just never been super consistent. And I think this is why, and I don't want to get into a quarterback tier talk, but this is why in quarterback tier talks, people often leave him out of that first tier, which is usually reserved for, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Right, right.
And people named Tom Brady.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I find it interesting because we often kind of glance over that and we talk about how clutch Russell Wilson is, and he often is that, but he does have these games, and I just find that interesting because I don't think a lot of people view him as that.
As an elite quarterback?
I think a lot of people think he's really great, and yeah. I think the conversation about how inconsistent he can be kind of gets ignored.
Right.
And having that amazing defense behind him has covered up a lot of those flaws over the years.
Yes.
And the running game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not having Lynch was huge.
Absolutely.
And his own mobility, too, isn't what it was in his first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Not quite. So I think he had that injury at the start of the season that really kind of set him back for a little bit, and you can see it hankering him. But even then, so he's always kind of been the, like, you know, he's like that above average, like kind of athletic, be able to dart around quarterback. He still has an arm about him. He can still throw the passes, but again, he's not the like prototypical pocket, you know, sticks in there and like has that consistency of being that guy.
And I don't think you can be at that size. I think you got to move around and find, you know, holes in the line, or you have to get out of the pocket in general.
Not to mention the
Key and Brees are about the same size, though, aren't they? Him and Drew Brees are the same height.
But Drew Brees does a hell of a job just manipulating the
fact that he can get like passes through. I mean, you have like guys that are 6'5", 6'7" in front of you, and you're like it's 5 guys around you, and you're able to. Yeah, he's 6 foot, right? Yeah, he's small for a quarterback.
But I do think that the defense, though, obviously the offense, you're not going to win very many games when you're starting quarterback, those 5 picks. But I really, and so obviously the defense was in a bad situation all day. They're often they were just getting off the field and, you know, 4 or 5 plays later, trotting right back out there. And so most defenses are going to have a bad day. So I don't think this is a total. I don't think that Seattle should be in complete panic mode because I think this is more than just missing Earl Thomas. Like I said, I think when you're constantly on the field, that's a problem for any defense. But I do think what Earl Thomas does, technically speaking, is he allows Seattle to go into man more than any other team because he can cover sideline to sideline like no other safety. It allows them to play man and to play up on the ball and to play in press coverage, where most other teams just don't have that luxury. And now, obviously, they still have Cam Chancellor back there, but I think it's going to be, I think the NFC is a lot more open than we originally anticipated.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you have, obviously you guys alluded to the Giants win at the beginning of the show, and that was huge. I mean, they still have that outside shot. They probably won't catch Dallas, but I mean, it almost secured them a wild card berth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that defense looks pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, their offense, just like Seattle's, a little, you know, inconsistent, but, you know, Eli's the kind of guy. It's like, if they get in there, who knows what kind of run they can make.
I mean, we've seen him do pretty amazing things.
Yeah. I'm still not a believer in Detroit. I mean, 9-4 is a great record. And, you know, but I mean, they barely beat the Bears yesterday.
Yeah. Weren't eight of those wins comebacks in the fourth quarter?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And at least one score games. You know what I mean? So they're not like blowing people out of the water. But then again, you know,
they're doing what they need to do to win.
Exactly.
But and that's kind of like the most important thing.
Doesn't Stafford have a broken index finger, too?
He has like torn ligaments, I think.
Is that what it was?
In his throwing hands. I think it's like in his middle finger, middle or ring finger, I think.
And, all important when you're a quarterback.
Yeah. Right.
But they said he's going to wear a glove for the rest of the year and he's going to give it a go.
Yeah.
And so
we'll see.
I mean, that could be really tough. He said he was kind of having trouble gripping the ball and with his velocity yesterday. That's going to be something to watch moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay still two back, but keeping pressure because I believe that the season finale is in Ford Field versus the Packers.
I believe, I could be wrong, but Detroit has to go to the Giants.
Yes.
And they have a game against Dallas.
Yeah.
So
that's
have
a couple losses potentially before they get to that game.
And especially with the Stafford who's hurt right now.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I mean, we're not even mentioning a team that started 5-0. Minnesota is probably not even going to make the playoffs right now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny to me. You start like that way. There's so much hype. Like, oh, man, we found.
Yeah,
Sam Bradford's got a new home, and he's perfect. He's amazing. He's the best. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, still Sam Bradford.
They are last year's Atlanta, if you ask me, because remember, Atlanta started 5-0 last year.
Yeah.
And people started talking about, are they, you know, 15-1, 16-0, and it's like,
no.
Just don't trust Atlanta.
Right.
Just do yourself a favor, don't trust them. But I do think the NFC is completely open. We could talk about Dallas being the dominant team, but they haven't proven to have any real home field advantage.
Right.
And I like Dak Prescott a lot, but I'm concerned about starting a rookie in a playoff scenario. And when he's pretty much rendered Dez Bryant an average wide receiver, he had one catch for 10 yards or something.
Right.
Was that accurate? Something like that yesterday. And Dez has kind of fallen off the map because Dak Prescott just doesn't go down the field that often. He takes some shots, but...
That's why Cole Beasley's like having a breakout year because he's in the slot and he's like, here, take these little dump routes. I mean, you had Romo on your bench who can go deep, and you have a great receiver, like you're saying, in Dez, who likes to go deep, you know?
Yeah, but you can't rock the boat right now at 11-2.
See, I think...
I feel like now's the time, too. I honestly feel that Romo's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
I agree.
I really
Matter
think
of fact,
that.
I was just looking at these numbers today. When Romo, a couple of years ago, that DeMarco Murray season, when they were just running all over everyone, Romo had a quarterback rating of, I want to say, 123 or something like that for the season, and Dak Prescott is at 102 for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So Romo was putting up better numbers.
I'm just saying, like, you imagine that game. Like, you're saying the running game is going to stay the same pretty much with Zeke.
Sure.
And then you get a guy that actually can be able to throw it on the field, and that's, like, what you want. Be able to play action. Bam, you're set in motion. I think Romo would be the better option now.
I agree with you if all these things were happening within a vacuum.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
No, that's a great point.
But there's, like, too much mojo going on with the team. You're still in first place, you've got the number one seed so far as you don't completely stumble down the stretch.
Right.
And there's just these locker room intangibles. And I'm not saying Tony's not a popular guy because he seems like his teammates really like him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's done a great job, too, like being a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have embraced that more than, say, like Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Bledsoe looked kind of like bent out of shape about it.
Mm-hmm.
You could just see his body language on the sideline. I mean, he was instructing Tom, but it wasn't quite with the verve that you see Tony doing it. I mean, this is huge because he's injury prone too. That's the thing.
Yes.
And he's rusty and he hasn't played. And it's like, if he goes in there and they lose, then everybody's going to second guess Garrett. They're going to second guess Jones.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know
That's
what I mean?
True. But so, like I said, I feel like I mean, they haven't locked it up yet, but I think a lot of people are feeling they're not going to lose that. And I think you kind of have a couple of games to play with a little bit. And I think why not see how that goes with him? Because, well, I mean, I feel
but
that...
But you could crush Dak's confidence to a certain degree.
I feel like the guy's still a rookie. The guy should still be realizing that at any point in time, like, things can change.
Yeah.
And, like, and he's I think this is still emotion. Like, hey, you're still a rookie, bro. You have not earned this. You've had a couple of few great games right now.
I think
you haven't had a full season
yet.
Yeah,
but wins and losses, man. I mean, he's at a point now where I don't think Romo, they ever had the number one seed.
No.
You know what I mean? He's only won one playoff game, too. I mean, it's not like he's,
I mean, Dak,
like,
hasn't won any. So he hasn't even been in the playoffs.
So no, like, no, but I'd rather take 0-0 than 1-6 or whatever Romo is. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's maybe not 1-6.
The reason I find all of this interesting is because I can completely see both sides of this.
Totally.
So I can completely see you've been rolling, you've been beating, for the most part, bad teams, but nevertheless, you have the number one overall seed in your conference, so why rock the boat? At the same time, I could see in the playoffs, everything gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what makes a difference in the playoffs is having a couple of guys, one or two guys, who are exceptional. And I don't think Dak's exceptional yet. I do think Tony Romo has proven to be, at times, exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, it's too far gone. They're too far down the road with Dak. If they were going to bring back Tony, I think they had to do it a few weeks ago to see what he has left in the tank and to get him reps. Because you can't, let's say Dak struggles in their opening divisional round game, right? And he struggles in the first half and they're down 14. He's not someone who really pushes the ball down the field, like you said, but you can't just pluck Romo off the bench.
Then, to maybe Derek's point, now is the time. You've got three games left.
Right.
Let's see what Tony can do, because they're two up on the Giants. I mean, they'd really have to screw that up.
Mm-hmm.
But you want number one overall.
One of them.
Who's up next? Detroit at 9-4?
Yeah.
So they have a two-game cushion on everything. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, because if you're not going to lose playoff positioning, then maybe see what Tony can do. But to your point, I mean, yeah, halftime, opening round division game, and you just put Tony in there cold, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
And to your point, I mean, yeah, Tony can stretch the field more, and likes going to Dez, likes feeding Dez the ball. But at the same time, this is bigger than just Bryant and his ego.
Yeah.
And it's like Witten didn't even catch a ball against Minnesota the Thursday before last.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like they keep winning games without their typical formula, maybe, or at least those two guys sometimes. So just keep giving the ball to Zeke. Don't turn the ball over and rely on that defense and the offensive line. And I would say if I were the coach, I would roll with Dak. That's what I would do, just because you're in such a great position and you don't want to rock the boat. And honestly, I don't think there's a team out there that they can't beat. Like, I don't think the top of the NFC is really that good.
Oh, no.
Like, Seattle's got problems. Detroit's got problems.
Throughout the NFL in general, I feel like there's no clear cut team. No, there's no cream of the top crop.
I would say, though, that the top three out of, like, the top four would be AFC teams. I think Pittsburgh, KC, and New England are better than anybody in the NFC.
You're not even throwing Oakland in that bunch. Okay.
Casey. No, Oakland's. I think Oakland took a step back with that loss, but they're still a top five team.
That was at KC, though, wasn't it?
It was, but they lost to Kansas City at home, too.
Yeah.
They're only two against Kansas City.
They got their break speed off by KC at home. I think they lost 26-10 or something like that. Yeah, they lost by double digits.
So they've kind of gotten handled by the Chiefs a little bit. And I'm not going to take anything away from the Raiders, because they have had a phenomenal season and they will make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And quick prediction, they'll go to the AFC South winner and beat them. I don't care who it is. Texans.
No one's winning that.
Titans.
Yeah.
Oakland's going to win that game if they can't catch KC. They still have a chance, because KC has to maintain pace with them.
I mean, not to mention KC has had a pretty bad track record of being in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, it's...
I mean, they blow...
Kansas City, even before Andy Reid, with Marty Schottenheimer and Dick Vermeil. I mean, they're like... They got bad playoff.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that game they were up... What was it against the Colts? They were up... Like four scores,
31-3 or something.
Yeah.
It was the second biggest comeback next to Bills Oilers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also,
I think
if
that sounds about right.
Again, this is where you worry about Alex Smith is in the playoffs. He's a great regular season quarterback. He manages the game. This is what I'm talking about. In the playoffs, it usually comes down to one or two exceptional players making one or two exceptional plays, and that's the difference. And for all those Niners fans or just football fans in general, who watched that New York Giants San Francisco championship game in SF. If you remember, it was three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out for the Niners.
Right.
And the Niners special team made plays. Their defense made plays.
Yeah, but they also dropped the one guy fumbled twice.
Yeah.
In two very key instances.
You know what
I mean? They were getting the ball back with a chance to win the game. I wouldn't put that all on Alex Smith.
It's not all on Alex Smith, but he definitely...
Because he made some great plays against the Saints the week before.
He did.
I mean, that was like phenomenal, you know, shootout style.
It's hard to switch him on Alex Smith. He's like dead set in stone, Alex Smith. Like, the fact that you gave him that compliment, I honestly wanted to write that in stone right there.
No, he is Captain Checkdown.
He's a great regular season quarterback. I was like, wow, you actually gave him a compliment because he's like... Alex Smith is dead to him.
Well, I mean,
pretty much.
They've won what 20 out of the last 23 regular season games.
I think Alex again. He's a serviceable quarterback for what they have, and he does what he has to do.
Serviceable,
but their defense is pretty good. I mean, they were hitting the Raiders pretty hard every time someone was getting the ball. It was like one, two, three guys getting it. You know what I mean? It wasn't just one guy bringing them down. They were swarming, and like that's what I'm afraid of. Like honestly, as a Patriots fan, I'd rather go to Oakland than to Kansas City.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, their defense is nasty. He's
nasty.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, not to mention the corners that they have are...
Yeah.
And Eric Berry, I love that guy.
He's like insane.
I'm telling you, watch out for Pittsburgh, though, because they're the only team that has top 10 in both offense and defense.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh can be... They are or will be a legit Super Bowl contender.
Totally.
When you have Ben on there, I mean, he's... As much as I don't like him, he's still... A guy who knows what to do out there and knows how to win games. And
I would put him in that discussion of like top tier quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, I think he is. Joe, totally. You know,
top five.
The only thing about that concerns me about Pittsburgh, they're schizophrenic.
They play down the level of their opponent.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
They got beat down bad by Philadelphia, who's a middle of the pack, kind of less than average team that's shaking out to be. And they got beat down by Miami. Granted, it was as Miami was starting this six-game run.
And Philly was 3-0 at the time. It was when Philly was decent.
True.
But you're right, though. They're not a good team.
Dude, Philly was the biggest tease, I feel.
No, I saw some crazy stat where, like, when they play under 500 teams, they're, like, you know, about 500. Like, in the last 6 years or something like that. Like, they beat good teams. That is the Steelers, that is. Mm-hmm. But they always lose to bad teams, unless it's, like, the Browns. But your point. But I think that now, looking at their schedule and the fact that they have Baltimore, you know, that Baltimore game might just be for the division.
That's going to be big.
And so they're going to be playing playoff type.
I love hard-hitting games.
I think the playoffs have kind of already started for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect them to turn that on. You have a very veteran coach in Tomlin.
Right.
You have a very veteran quarterback. Le'Veon Bell is a team leader now.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a really good defense. I mean, it's not like Kansas City or Denver's, but it's still pretty good, and they can get after it. So just with that experience, just even like throughout the entire franchise, Pittsburgh's just one of those teams that like is there.
Yeah, and they're one of the teams that traditionally has played pretty well on the road.
Yes.
And they really travel well in the playoffs. So, yeah, I would be... If I'm in the AFC, I would not want to face Pittsburgh. And also, I mean, again, despite how I may feel personally about Alex Smith, I wouldn't want to go to Kansas City and play in that cold.
No. Loud.
They have a great home field advantage.
Yep.
And what they can do what they've been doing all year long. Alex Smith, just don't make any turnovers. Mm-hmm. The defense will play solid. You'll probably get a great play or two from special teams. And...
But, I mean, they have had some kind of lucky wins.
No, they have.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the one against Atlanta?
The one against Denver kicks it off the goalpost.
Right.
I mean, it's like, so, I don't know. You know, I guess this could be an 8-5 team just
they
as
could.
Easily.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
This season's been insane. Like, who's good? So, you know?
It's like, been like, also, it's been so, like, I've been so torn about it. Like, there are times I'm like, I'm really over this, just about, like, how they're handling the business. Like, oh, man, football is just terrible, I feel. And there are times I'm like, okay, all right, I'm back on. It's good right now. Like, I'm on the wagon. I'm a little bit, I'm digging it. But, like, there are just times where I'm like, I'm watching games and just they infuriate me, like, how they're being called and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah, like,
refs and everything.
Did you guys see that call? Emmanuel Sanders scores a touchdown. And then he winds up and does kind of like a pitching.
Oh, they are. It's like, honestly, like, don't get off my lawn is every single one of those refs. I feel like I don't like anything that has to do with celebrations.
Yeah, he essentially just pitched the ball into, you know, the barrier behind the field goal post. And he got a 15-yard flag. And Emmanuel Sanders isn't one to get many personal conduct Flags, he's pretty professional. I mean, Aqib Talib on the other side of that team absolutely is, but he's not one who's earned that reputation. And you could see it after they threw the flag. He was like, what did I do? And I think it's kind of crazy that these guys don't know what constitutes
It's like, honestly, their personal preference. Like, hey, man, if you think it's too far, you throw the flag.
But what's the difference?
What's
the difference between throwing it at the barrier at the, you know, behind the field goal post and just spiking the ball? Isn't it all essentially the same thing?
Yeah, totally. I mean, Edelman throws it at the back wall.
That's exactly what he did, but instead of just running in and just throwing it, he stood,
made a pitching motion.
He went into a pitching stance and like shook off a call and then threw the ball. I thought it was kind of creative, you know.
Yeah. And seeing some more stuff like that. I really don't.
I wish it was like open season.
Thank you.
And let TO type dudes pull Sharpies and cell phones out of, like, you know what I mean?
I'm totally fine with doing that.
Like, I wouldn't do it myself, but like, if you want to do it, I don't really care. Like, it's not like anything to me.
Well, because it always usually happens on the kickoff anyway, so who cares? Because nobody's returning kickoffs anyway,
right?
Like, especially because they moved it 5 yards forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. To me, it's just kind of ridiculous. It's all just going to end up in a touchback anyway.
Yeah, I think.
So what's the big significance that if he gets two of those in a game, he gets kicked out?
Yeah, it's
that is ridiculous.
I don't understand. Yeah. Now that the NFL wants to ban snow angels, my personal feeling
and
on
they
that,
wonder why the ratings are down.
It's not fun league. You're really living up
it's
to the
not
NFL.
But I mean, but I think there's an avenue we could go down here just quickly. I do think there's something to that. A lot more kids are getting more drawn into NBA. The ratings amongst kids is at an all-time high. And soccer is at an all-time high. And if you see a guy score a goal in soccer, I mean,
it's going crazy.
Yeah, well, there's like granted, a 10-minute break.
The whole team's chasing him around the field for five minutes until he takes his shirt off and slides.
It doesn't happen that often, you know?
No, it is something to be celebrated.
Exactly.
For sure.
So that's like, it's like, okay, it's understandable. But to do like every single time, like, one thing I've always kind of, it's pre-grinds my gears, is the guy that's on the kickoff, and every single time they tackle a guy, just going like crazy, like, yeah! I'm like, no, dude, you just did what you're supposed to do out there on your play. Like,
but I will say this, oftentimes those guys are fringe players.
Yeah, no.
So they're on the field maybe
moment.
5-6 times a game.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they're either, you know, they're getting a touchback or a fair call. And so they're not getting to hit someone. So when they get to hit them, it's probably pretty exciting.
Still, I just think like,
I'm with you though, because even like when linebackers do it, they go all crazy after making a tackle. It's like, dude, that's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to plug the hole. I'm supposed to not let him go forward. Don't make it seem like you did something above and beyond the call of duty here.
Right. I think there is a time and place for it based on the situation in the game. But I think when you're down and the game's out of reach and you make a tackle for a loss or something, like, yeah, like
that's just more like just hang your head in shame of like, yeah, I can't believe I didn't do this the entire game.
But I do. I enjoy celebrations. I just think these guys are getting paid so much to play a super physical game that just beats you down, that if you score a touchdown, go crazy. Who cares? You know, like, why do we need to police it so much? I want more of this in my life. Speaking of more of this, can I play this Adam Jones sound for you guys real quick?
Yeah.
If it's going to play, which it doesn't seem to want to do. So we'll get back to that.
was this when he was talking about Terrell Pryor and the trash can?
Yeah. Yes. Did you hear any of that?
No, I just heard he compared his game to something about the trash. And I don't know.
It's pretty.
Adam Jones.
That's you get a lot of gold from Adam Jones.
Yeah, hold on. Here we go.
And all these facades, all this fake hard that he play out on the field. That ain't Terrell Pryor. I checked his background. He's a suburbs kid from Pittsburgh.
I know you talked about it, Adam. What did that start with for you, Terrell?
Garbage.
There you go, right there,
bro.
Oh,
there you go. Get him out of there. You see him in there?
Oh, right there.
You better find him somebody to play with.
Is it him saying basically he could...
Garbage. Garbage.
All right, Adam. Aside from Terrell, how big is it for you?
Garbage.
Garbage. One more garbage.
All right, cool.
Terrell Pryor, garbage.
I love that. I love that. And I want all sports to be a little more like professional wrestling, because at the end of the day, it is for our entertainment.
Right.
And it means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things. You know, it really...
There's certain ways to do it that's like fun and playful and stuff, but there's certain things you can do that I feel are just completely over the top and like not need to go down that route.
But the thing I appreciate about that is It's Pac-Man Jones. Let's stop calling him Adam for a second. It's Pac-Man Jones. We've been down this road with him before, and the one thing you could say about that whole entire rant, you know it was authentic.
I'm honestly keep like thinking, like, how is he still in the league? Because I feel like he's been in the league forever. Like, how long? I mean, like, that times where he's getting all in trouble when he was, like, in Dallas and stuff. Yeah. And then when he had... Was he on Cincinnati beforehand?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Dallas and then went back, right?
I think he got suspended for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that whole strip club incident when he threw $85,000 in someone's face. Mm. And then someone got shot and he was there. And when he was in Dallas, I believe they had a private, like, a watchman who would hang out with Pac-Man Jones and go everywhere he went to keep him out of trouble.
That's a lot for, like, one person on your team. Yeah. Like, hey, man, we're going to hire another person.
Right.
To be there with you all times.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen or, like, heard any interviews over the last few years with Adam Jones when you actually catch him in a real moment. But he's a super introspective, like, super intelligent guy. Hmm. Like, he talks all the time about the past mistakes he's made and, like, how he was an idiot and how the time in Dallas was just kind of a joke. But I don't know. I love that. I love trash talk. I love celebrations. I do think there's a time and a place, and there's ways to do it. Like the Odell Beckham kissing the net thing went way, way too far and became super corny. But let's take a break for station identification. You want to do our other read here?
Sure.
I'll give you a moment to go over that. Right. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, listener-supported community radio, broadcasting live and direct from Chico, California, to the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Again, we want to shout out our sponsors real quick. Derek, go ahead and handle those responsibilities.
Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the merchants at 4th and Broadway in the heart of downtown Chico. Birkenstocks, Cotton Party, and Chico Paper Company offer a unique selection of clothing, jewelry, footwear, and artworks of all kinds, conveniently located with plenty of nearby parking. Birkenstock, Cotton Candy, and Chico Paper Company can make your holiday shopping a pleasure. Come experience the differences at 4th and Broadway in downtown Chico. Right below us.
Yes, it is. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
That's where I recycle my corks.
Really?
Birkenstocks.
Yeah. You can do that there?
Yeah.
You can't just put them in a bowl and have them as decorations. I thought that's what you do with them.
You can do that as well.
Learn something every day with you guys.
If you want to recycle them, that's the way to go.
All right. You heard it from Noobs here first.
Are really Birkenstocks made from corks?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's all news to me.
I've never had a pair, so I'm...
Yeah, haven't been up on my Birkenstocks game lately, but this is informative. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
What do you guys want to talk about? I think the Rams getting rid of old 9-7 BS is...
9-7, I think, is generous.
Yeah.
I remember
that's a good
lot
season.
More 5-11,
right.
7-9.
That's a good season for him.
Well, yeah. And the reason I say that is during Hard Knocks, that was like a continuous thing that he and the coaching staff said when anything, you know, went awry or like something like kind of fell apart, they would say it's some 9-7 BS.
Oh, really?
And so I kind of dubbed him 9-7 BS because that's his thing. Anyway, we've talked about Jeff Fisher multiple times on the show this year because he's kind of a clown show and he's a lot of fun to watch. He looks like so many people.
He's like the average dad looking dude.
He looks like a guy who would be on the box of fish sticks, I heard. I saw someone write that on Twitter.
Gordon's fish.
Yeah, put a big yellow jacket on him.
Yeah.
Totally. He's a little white beard, but no, totally.
But I don't know. I don't have much to say about it. I do think it's interesting that all of this kind of unfolded in this, like this whole mockery or this embarrassment I don't know what I'm trying to say. A lot of comedy around this guy, right? So the whole thing with Eric Dickerson happened.
Yes.
Where he said, you know, I don't want you on the sidelines because, you know, my player, you were talking bad about my players. And Eric Dickerson, when you think about the LA Rams, I don't know who else you would really think about but Eric Dickerson. So he is like Mr. LA Ram. So that was a big deal. And then, was it last week when he was wearing that huge parka coat and couldn't find the challenge flag? Did you guys see this?
No.
So he starts reaching for his red challenge flag and he's got this gigantic jacket on and he's reaching in every single pocket and he has to run out and grab a ref and like explain to him, I'm trying to throw out the flag, but I don't know where it is. Then he got a contract extension 2 weeks ago, I want to say. Then he got fired.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a roller coaster of a ride, man.
Have fun wherever you go next.
Sounds like the front office is just schizophrenic. If you give someone an extension,
right,
you'd think they wouldn't be on a short leash.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, they signed up 2 weeks ago to give him an extra, I want to say $15 million, that they now are on the hook to pay him regardless, just
ridiculous.
To fire him. So that's, I just wanted to mention that because I think it's funny.
That's honestly, like, if you really just fired him based on this one game, like, that's what it makes it seem like. Like, oh, yeah, we're totally fine with Jeff Fisher. Oh, right. Wait, we just lost really badly to Atlanta. Okay, you're fired.
Well, to be fair.
That was it.
To be fair, at home this year, LA scored 5 touchdowns. Yesterday, Atlanta scored 6 in LA. So that'll get you fired.
I thought they were going to get rid of him last year when it was official they were moving to LA.
I thought so too. So
get a clean start in there. Yeah.
So
I mean, the fact that he's still in the league sometimes is baffling to me, or a head coach at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubts he'll get picked up as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, those guys stick around the league forever.
For sure.
I don't know. Jeff Fisher became the second losingest coach of all time yesterday. And he, since that Super Bowl season, he's been pretty much underperforming every single season.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 16 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, it was 99, 2000.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about a guy who's just learned how to work the system. I thought it was genius getting Jared Goff. And and he's not ready to play. He's basically biding time, like, we kind of expected this season.
Right.
You know, we'll see what he has next season. And then the following season's when he's really going to grow. And he just, I thought he did a great job of buying himself an extra 2-3 years that he didn't really deserve. So,
well, he didn't really actually buy them because he doesn't have them anymore.
Yeah, he's getting paid for them.
That's true.
They've had some decent defenses, and I think that was kind of the thing of like, okay, well, let's see where Gurley can go. And then they drafted the kid from Cal, right? That's who they got?
Yeah, Goff.
Yeah, Goff.
And so, but I mean, obviously they didn't give him the reins in the beginning of the season. They were going with Case Keenum, which
that was weird.
I don't know. But so he's gone. But I mean, it won't be long before you'll see him on an NFL sideline again. I can almost guarantee that.
Or on a box of fish sticks, however.
Or on a box of fish sticks.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Well, speaking of coaching moves, I guess Coach Kiffin, the offensive coordinator, is going to Florida Atlantic.
Yeah,
which really surprised me because this was a guy that had Tennessee head coaching job, USC head coaching job, and the way that he's turn that Alabama offense into not just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but I mean they've got a lot of kind of great plays out there, like really go deep a lot, which isn't really prototypical of an Alabama offense. So I thought he'd get picked up in a major school, maybe not an SEC school.
He
but like
a terrible track record as a head coach.
No,
though.
He does, but I think
maybe he's just like, yeah, I don't want to mess up.
Yeah, USC didn't even let him get on the flight home. remember that?
Well, he bounced from Tennessee. Everybody's really bitter at that because he had the chance to go to USC, and then he did perform so poorly there. But it's like it's one of those things where you have enough time go by, and hopefully there's some maturity that's happened. Like his time at Alabama, I would have thought would have gotten him a better gig than Florida Atlantic.
Agreed. And I was surprised to see him take that job. I figured if he...
I'd rather be the OC at Alabama, to be honest with you, than the head coach.
Seems like a better job, right?
I mean,
right?
No offense to Florida Atlantic, but I mean, he's probably the most famous offensive coordinator in college. I mean, can you guys name another offensive coordinator? I can't.
No, I'm not going to try.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, but I
can
know
barely
him.
Name coordinators in the NFL.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's like he's kind of like... I don't know. He's not obviously as famous as Saban, but like he's definitely a recognizable guy on that sideline. I'd figure like his next step would have been,
Well, I mean, he made a name for himself being Pete Carroll's dude.
Oh, at USC?
At USC.
Absolutely.
So he's always made his name as being like a good number two.
Yeah.
Totally.
But think about this.
He was the Raiders coach for like a year, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Again, another failed head coach in his
career. Right. But think about this. I'm looking at this now. The other coaches in and around Florida, because Florida is probably, I think it's the number one state for high school football recruits, followed by Texas, and it's all southern states for the most part.
It is ridiculous how many people come. The community college I went to, they would totally recruit guys from Florida over there.
Oh, yeah.
Our community college would do that.
You're talking about Butte?
No, this is back down in LA area.
Because if you look at Butte's roster, there's tons of kids from Florida.
Really?
Texas.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. How many people come out of there?
Well, but So Florida obviously is rich in talent, but these are the coaches he has to go up against in recruiting from that pool of talent. Charlie Strong just took the South Florida job. Charlie Strong, if nothing else, is a hell of a recruiter. And I know it didn't pan out in Texas, but if you look at the talent that he brought in there and the five-star recruits that he got, it's pretty impressive. Mark Richt, head coach of Miami now.
Mm-hmm.
He came over from Georgia. Another great recruiter.
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher, Jim McElwain, even Butch Davis. They're all in Florida now.
Yeah.
I saw another funny tweet that said, who mentioned all these coaches, and they said they're going to be in the Miami hood, like Jehovah Witnesses, just knocking on doors for talent. But I do find this move pretty puzzling, that he would go to FAU. You would think if he won, Alabama's a better job, and you would think that the more success and the longer he stays at Alabama, one of those, I guess, a more high-profile job
it's gonna open up.
Would yeah, open up at totally. Some point.
I mean, Ella is...
And what about Baylor? LSU. Why not Baylor? Like, if I was Baylor, I would be... I don't think they've filled their position yet. They love high-flying offenses. That would be yeah. someone I would totally...
I think they're going to regress.
You hired anyone
though.
Yet?
LSU, I think, is going with Ed Orgeron.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. Right. Yeah. Dave, that's official. Okay.
Yeah.
Once Tom Herman jumped over to Texas,
right.
they immediately hired Ed Orgeron, which no one is more LSU than Ed Orgeron.
Right.
Have you ever heard him talk?
I'm sure it's pretty
amazing. Oh, it's so occasion and yeah. amazing. Oh, my God. I love it so much. But, I do find that interesting. I find that kind of a puzzling move. It seems like you're taking a step back instead of forward. But
well, I mean, it's at least a sidestep from Les Miles. That's essentially what they got was that's Les Miles' replacement, right?
Right.
Is this guy gonna, I mean, you look at Les Miles' record. I mean, he won like two SEC championships, a national championship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you win a national championship and two SEC championships and get fired? Like, that's not good enough? I mean, that national championship over Ohio State, correct me if I'm wrong, was within the last 5 years. It was like...
Was it?
Yeah.
I would say, I thought his winning record was like a few years ago and more than five.
No, he's always... They're always winning.
Wasn't that the one that he shared with... didn't he win the title when he shared it with USC?
No, that was Nick...
I think it was 07.
That was Nick Saban.
Oh, that was Nick Saban.
Nick Saban
LSU,
and USC,
right, yeah.
right? And then Texas won in 06, Florida won in 07.
No, it was LSU over the Buckeyes in 07.
Yeah. Okay, but it was the 2008 bowl game. Okay, so it was
yes,
longer
yes,
than
correct,
so, okay,
correct.
So it was longer
correct,
than 5 years. It was longer than 5 years. But, I mean, there was a stretch there where the SEC won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
Florida won 2, LSU won 1, Alabama's won 4, Auburn won 1.
But don't you yeah. think that might be part of LSU's problem is an identity issue? They look across at a rival like Alabama, and they just
right.
they're playing for a national championship every year. It seems like they're at least
oh, the winner of that game has a great shot.
Yeah, every year, sure. and I yeah. think LSU looks at Alabama like we should be that.
Totally.
And I just think that there's only one Alabama right,
right.
now. I mean, it doesn't even matter, Jalen Hurts. I mean, for God's sakes, was it McElroy won a national championship
Dude,
there?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't had a great quarterback since Nick Saban's been there. Hasn't mattered.
No, AJ McCarron was. I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
But they're not great. It's
they're
all
like
about
good,
those,
they're like good,
the
no.
running backs. I mean, they have, Eddie Lacy.
Trent Richardson.
Yeldon.
Oh, TJ Yeldon.
Yeah, they've
yeah.
had like five.
Derrick Henry.
Mark Ingram,
another yeah. Heisman Trophy winner. So they've had five, you know, like top running backs, like first and second round picks, Heisman Trophy running backs.
Yeah.
And defenses that just don't quit. Plus Amari Cooper and Julio Jones.
True.
To mention a
yeah.
couple great wide receivers.
Right.
So, you know, to me, it's you know, like you said, you know, it really doesn't matter. Like, you know, I could probably play quarterback and win a national championship. But, well, maybe not.
Should have gone there.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You could at least be on the depth chart somewhere.
What's amazing is that yeah, I could be holding some water for someone. But yeah, I mean, this is his 10th year at the program, Saban. And the first year they went 7-6. And then the next year, from that point on, they've pretty much been in the national championship contention, like
yeah.
at least up to the SEC game. SEC championship, they've been in contention except for the Cam Newton championship year. They were 10-3
yeah.
and out of it in November. But like every year, they're either going into the SEC championship or going to the BCS championship
right.
with a chance to win. That is unbelievable.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're talking about 8 years. I mean, that's 8 different recruiting classes. That's 4 groups of, eight groups of seniors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's...
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
And they just turn it out every year. And I just think LSU has... unrealistic expectations if they think that that's their peer. I just I don't think Alabama has a peer right now. So,
yeah, no, I think it's easy to say that just looking at, you know, what they've done.
So we have shamefully neglected hoop for a while on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say people have been doing stuff out there.
Well, it's been early in the season, and it's hard to get super excited about. I mean, I'm a hoop head, and even for me, it's been more of a struggle this year than other years to like be fully invested this early in the season. I felt like baseball's playoffs were really great, and I was kind of coming down off that high, and it just took me a while to get into basketball mode. But so far this season, there's been some interesting storylines. Obviously, what Russell Westbrook is doing is
inhumane.
There's not enough superlatives to explain what he's doing. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
He's averaging a triple-double. He has...
He had 7 in a row that just ended last night.
Yeah, so he tied Jordan on that. I don't really know what to say about it because, I mean, it's just awesome to watch. And I don't know if you got to see him and James Harden go up against each other the other night. I was kind of dropping in and out on that game, but it was a lot of fun watching... those two, and I usually hate watching James Harden because his game just, like, I don't really like watching him just draw contact all day and just go parade to the free throw line.
Right.
But I respect his hustle. But watching them go against each other the other night, those guys are having two great seasons so far.
Yeah.
And it seems like Mike D'Antoni and James Harden were just made for each other. You know, don't worry about defense. just get the ball and just go. And, like, our plan is we don't need to stop them. We'll just keep scoring. Yeah, you know?
Right. We'll keep this ball going, all right?
Yeah.
Lively action.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to at least mention that.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's been killing the game out there. Much respect to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Harden, too.
Harden definitely, I think, is happy that Howard's not there anymore.
Oh, you could tell.
Freeing up space in the middle. It's just those two weren't ever really meant to play together, I don't think. I mean, Harden, you know, Harden probably wishes there was two basketballs at once. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I thought D'Antoni, I thought his career was over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He had a good run with Phoenix, but that never really panned out because, like you said, you have to play defense in the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then didn't work out with the Knicks, the Lakers. I mean, I didn't really see him getting another job, but. Apparently in today's NBA, they still value the fact of just getting up and down and not really worrying about what happens at your basket.
Yeah, and the Knicks are actually playing well this year, which is...
Knicks, well, I mean, yeah.
Considering.
I think Hornacek is going to be a good coach.
And I like
their top three. I love Porzingis.
Oh, Porzingis is great.
He's a talent, man. I mean, I'm not a Melo fan at all. Never have been. But
like I think he's actually realizing he doesn't have to be the guy.
Right.
Like last night, I think he had like 7 assists and like 8 rebounds or something. Like
that's like career highs, I feel.
Yeah, no, seriously, they were throwing multiple defenders at him, and he was actually passing the ball. I think it's one of the things when you got Derrick Rose and you got.
I was saying the Derrick Rose was a nice little pickup. I thought. I mean, the guy he was such an awesome guy to watch out there when he was in his prime and didn't have those. Yeah. His knees weren't where they are right now, but he's still got something left in there, and he's.
He's been okay this season. Yeah. His three, I think he's shooting 25% from three.
I mean, he's never been a great 3-point shooter.
No, never. But I think in this day and age, is what I'm trying to say, the point guard position has kind of changed to that, where you have to be able to at least be competent from three. Otherwise, to spread the floor. Really,
yeah, no,
you know?
True.
I think an underrated signing for them was Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings has been playing great for them off the bench, and now that he's starting, and because Derrick Rose is injured off again.
Wait, what?
Yeah, big shocker there. No, Derrick Rose. I don't think it's. I know it's not anything major. I forgot what he's even nicked up with, but. I think Brandon Jennings was an underrated signing for them, and he's making a big difference. Porzingis continues to grow, and the fact that that guy can stroke threes.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine what the NBA is going to look like in like 30, 40 years? It's going to be all 7-footers. Like,
just draining threes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Dirk
Nowitzki. That's kind of how it is now.
Right. Like Dirk Nowitzki was such an oddity, and now we have guys like Kevin Durant, Antetokounmpo, who's having, he's only 23 and having a breakout season.
Yeah.
Porzingis is just, it's crazy. Did you guys hear about this? And we'll get to your grinding what grinds my gears segment in a second. Hannah, I want to ask you about any bad beats.
Okay.
If there were any, because I didn't pay attention to any lines this weekend.
I got something better than a bad beat.
Okay, I can't wait. But I did want to just mention this story real quick. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think I said his name right. Pretty sure I did. I practiced it. he's almost 7 feet, or is 7 feet, and the other day, or it was recently reported that he was sprinting in the snow, and a family pulled over, thought they recognized him, pulled over, and gave him a ride to the arena. I guess what happened is he caught a cab to go to a credit union to wire money back to his family, and he wired all his money and forgot to save any money and didn't have like his card or phone with him to take any money out and pay for a cab. So he just decided to sprint several miles to the stadium.
That's the way to do it, man.
Because he had a game later that night. And then this family just saw him running in the snow in a t-shirt and decided, I think that's, you know, the Greek freak pulls over, gave him a ride.
Okay, I was going to say, the guy is what? African American, he's 7 feet tall in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you're going to stand out.
Yeah, but I just thought that was an interesting story.
Yeah, no, that's pretty funny. No, that's actually really funny. I like those little run-ins with the civilians.
I want to know
when you say he sent all his money. I hope you don't mean all his money.
No. I just think $20 million
money order. I didn't send myself cab money.
Trying to get that Nigerian princess saved right now. You know,
from what I understand, he took out $10,000 or so in cash and went to send it to his family, but forgot to save $100 or something. Yeah, save $20 to get a cab ride. So he just decided, you know what the solution is? I'm gonna sprint.
If I was running a team, I would have a driver that was always on call.
Yeah.
If any of my guys ever were at a club late or whatever, here's the number. Yeah. No questions asked. We're going to get you home safe.
Yeah.
Or to the arena in time, whatever it would be.
Yeah. And I've always wondered why owners don't do that.
They should. I'm surprised Cuban doesn't do it. Or maybe they do it and it's some kind of on
we
the
don't
down
know about
low.
It, yeah.
Nobody really takes advantage of it like they should. Or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
But it would make sense.
Maybe they are. We're just only getting the ones that forgot to call that night.
Right.
That's true. Nah, man, I didn't call.
We've all been there I just want my car home.
Yeah.
So I want to hear what's better than a bad beat.
Well, there's a live bet right now. I don't know what the score is in tonight's game, but somebody in Nevada through William Hill, which is the sports book that pretty much permeates all the casinos there. He's alive on a 15-leg parlay, right? So he's 14 for 14 right now. $5 bet. If the Patriots cover -7 tonight, he wins 100. Or she, it might be a she. I don't even know. That person gets $100,000.
That's amazing.
$100,000 on a $5 bet. All he needs is the Patriots to cover by a touchdown tonight.
Wow. That's insane. Yeah.
See, that's what you do. If you're in that situation, that's when you take a second mortgage out and put $25,000 on the Ravens.
Right.
Right? Because that way, either way, you're going to make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I was that dude, I'd be hitting up all my friends. Do a limit bar $1,000.
Right.
Because
it's
a win-win.
You'll make it back.
No
doubt.
Right? So, obviously, he'd still be rooting for the Patriots at that point. But it's hard to get that kind of money on short notice.
Sure.
Because I'm sure all the legs were probably yesterday or maybe even on Saturday.
Right.
But, I mean, I've hit 8 out of 8 once. But it was on money lines that were some favorites.
Right.
It wasn't all just straight point spread bets.
That's crazy.
I did hit 8 for 8, and it was a 70-to-1 payout on $2.
Right.
But, I mean, this guy, it's, whatever, do the math, 100,000 divided by $5, it's $2,000 a
month. When I actually get to go to a sports book,
$20,000
that's what I love doing is just playing parlays all day. It just makes it more fun. You're not betting big money. You're just sitting there and hoping a series of things happen to break your way. And that would be crazy for that person. I hope they win because that's a pretty cool story.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. $5 to $100,000.
Yeah.
Dude, makes Christmas shopping a lot easier.
For sure.
No kidding.
I want to be.
I just want to walk into my financial aid office and make it rain. That's what I would do. here's my student loans. Leave me alone. Don't call me anymore.
I'm done with you.
All in ones. Pick it up off the floor. you got to grab my gears. I don't have imaging for you, so you're just going to have to do it cold.
Yeah, no. All right. Yeah, of course. Everyone knows what the imaging we're talking about, though. What grinds my gears? Everyone. I got a lot of hate in here, and it got to come out in some way, so this is my way of getting it out. The one that's really been eating me lately.
Hold on. I just want to take a second to to talk about how funny it is that you use this platform to just get it off your chest. Has nothing to do with sports usually.
No, it doesn't. No, it never does. No, it's just I'm using this moment in time to just get things off my chest that just eat me alive.
It's cheaper than therapy.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't begrudge
you for it. I'm almost envious of you. So go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. All
right. The Salvation Army people that are out there ringing the bell. No. Great what you're doing, but when you're ringing the bell, there's an art to doing it. And the constant ding, 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 ding is not a way to get me to drop change in there. It makes me want to go the other way and not listen to it. A long ding, dong, like rhythmic, make a little like holiday jeer out of it. But no, you gotta, I've done it 3 times so far. And this week I'm just hearing, and it's constant ding, 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 ding. It's annoying me. I'm sorry. It's on the corner here, right by Starbucks, and I'm sure most people know what I'm talking about if you walk down there, because you cannot help but hear it. So that's what grinds my gears on Salvation Army. Just careful who you're hiring. We need people out there who can.
So do you think it's a ringer by ringer basis, or do you think it's the actual bell that can only, you know what I mean?
I mean, there's other ways to ring
slower.
I mean, it looks like it's a small bell. I'm not one to, you know, I'm not a bell aficionado. I don't know all about them, you know? I'm just simply stating your motion that you're doing is one that is not appealing to the ears.
So when I get my bell aficionado issue next January,
I'll come to you.
You're not going to be on the front.
No, I will be like, I'll ask you to stand on the corner and tell me if that's the appropriate way to ring bells.
I don't know. I'm with you, though. That is a little, it's a little annoying.
It's aggressive, no doubt. I just think it's funny that you would like them to change their training policies for their volunteer staff that goes out to collect money for a good cause. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I find it everywhere, guys. Okay. all right. This is one that's honestly eaten me for a very long time. People that are very aggressively fans of a college they did not attend.
Yo.
I don't get it. I had a buddy back home in LA area where he had a USC tattooed on his arm, and he did not go to USC.
Yeah.
He was just a diehard USC fan. Like, I can get, like, again, I didn't go to Michigan. I'm a Michigan fan.
Okay.
But I'm not about them tattooed on me, and I'm not about, like, spending loads of money to have Michigan gear all over me.
Right.
I'm a fan of watching them, and I enjoy their football.
So can I just... Okay, I get it. I understand that. I'm not even against that. But I will say, after living in Austin, football is just a different breed for some people down there. And it didn't matter where people went to school. Texas was their squad. So I can at least understand it to a point.
Right. It's like a state pride thing.
Yeah.
True. I guess, especially with Texas, like just because it has the name Texas, it kind of like... automatically got that.
And there's
stamp.
No professional teams down in Austin in particular.
True.
So
that's what it was with Alabama. Yeah. That's all they got is Auburn and
right,
Alabama.
And like
so
all through the South for the most part, a lot of those places don't have major professional franchises. But your buddy at USC, I mean, it would be just as appropriate to get a Lakers tattoo. Because he has as much to do with the Lakers' success as he does the USC.
I mean, sports
success.
Tattoos in general are very, very iffy. I am always
questionable at best.
Very much so.
If you weren't like actually on the team.
Right.
I mean, even if you went to school there, I wouldn't get a University of Alabama tattoo.
You saying this leads into my next what really grinds my head. This is another one that really takes me off. People that get jerseys and put their own name on that jersey.
That's the worst.
Oh my God. You're not on that team. No.
I think it's great when they have something funny on the back.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I like the old people like Together Since or whatever, you know, that or like, you know, like this guy I saw, he has a Tim Tebow jersey but it says Jesus on it.
Yeah, back in the day, this is a little inside, but a lot of people had number 7 Falcons with the with Mexico on the back because do you guys remember that story? Uh-huh. Mike Vick used to check in to hotels under the alias Ron Mexico to do dirty deeds with people.
and
kind of got busted out for it. It was kind of a scandal. But
no,
anyway.
that's fine. If it's a joke, but if it's your own last name,
I'm with
putting,
you.
No,
that's
that is
horrible. That's awful.
Like, this popped in my head when I saw LeBron James wearing the Cubs jersey and he had his name on there. I was like, dog, you're not even a Cubs fan and you got your last name. Get one of the guys on there.
Right.
Come on.
Also,
I just say leave it blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to be that way.
Just wear the number.
Yeah. Also, I also have a problem, speaking of jerseys, when you're wearing a jersey of a guy younger than you. That's weird to me. I like that Jake rocks these old school. He comes in here with like old school champion jerseys.
Right.
Yes.
All the jerseys that I own are from people who are older than me, you know,
because you got them at an appropriate age appropriate time.
Yeah, exactly. You go out and get, if you're 50 years old, you like can't go out and get like a Tom Brady jersey.
Yeah, like,
no,
sorry,
it's a bit much.
I think it'd be weird like, that's if I wore weird. A Steph Curry jersey, even, you know,
you're on the cusp.
I'm on the
say.
Cusp, but he's still right younger than me. That's weird. But, to
by
me.
What, like 2 or 3 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not as bad as a 60-year-old guy going out and getting some rookie, like an Ezekiel Elliott
right,
jersey.
That's weird. For sure.
No, yeah, that's a.
That's like, okay, check that guy's computer.
I'm pretty sure. If you're like 40 and above, you can only be rocking like people who are not in the NFL anymore, pretty
right.
much.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally. Like you got to be like, you're old school people. Yeah. That's
but
it.
But one thing I don't mind is if you want to go get like a replica, like if I were to go get like a Andre Tippett. Yeah. 1985.
That's cool.
But like I don't have an old one. I'd have to get the old red.